dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcasts. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code.
Good afternoon and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 124 for November 29th, 2005. I'm Strom Carlson.
I'm Black Ratchet. And we have Not Theory this evening.
Hey, what's up? Back after a long hiatus.
Yeah, you see, because, like, I could never contact you, because, like, you, the way I always figure this out is when I'm at work, I only have access to AIM at work, and you're never on AIM, you idiot.
Yeah, I've switched, maybe I shouldn't tell people, but I've switched to Google Talk just because it's easier, I don't know. AIM, there's just lots of nonsense that goes on that I don't like to deal with.
Don't you use your own GAIM?
No, I don't get, like, Harry Potter ads that come up and, like, pop up in my face like my coworkers do, but it's still like, you know, they add stuff to your buddy list and all kind of, you know what, AIM is...
Oh, yeah,
bad.
Okay, I'll give you that. That pissed me off.
Yeah. I mean, that was just a minor nuisance, but in general, like, I just don't like AIM. That's all.
Crap. Now the sidekick's going to have to get, like, G-Talk support.
Oh, hey, did you see Hack TV 3? Oh, man.
We might as well make this out right now. Hack TV 3 has been released. It's up on the website. Zygmunt poured long and many efforts and hours of skills and labor and blood, sweat, and tears, and even a hurricane couldn't stop him, and him being evacuated for like a week up to Georgia. So it's out. You can download it. Use the BitTorrents. I believe we have BitTorrents. I also think we have a mirror on archive.org, so go use that. Go grab it, and then watch the new and improved opening sequence with Not Theory and Natus and their wacky sidekick hijinks.
Oh, yeah. You actually get to see me accidentally drop my sidekick once, and it gets a little scratch on it. So it's very funny.
And you get to see yours truly in the film and me slamming the door on Stank Dog.
Yeah, am I in it at all? I don't think so.
I think you can see yourself in the background.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm like
on there for
mentioned
like a split
at the end, I
yes.
think.
Probably.
Actually, since we're talking about Natus, so we might as well mention that he did get his Xbox last week. He did wait in line for 10 hours, and he got his Xbox the next morning at like 7 a.m. when they opened, and then later that afternoon he sold it for almost twice what he paid. So
not bad.
Yeah,
not
isn't capitalism
bad.
Great?
It seriously is, especially, you know, Natus just takes advantage of it as much as possible. That kid knows how to make money, there's no doubt there.
Yeah, he's, like, reading all kinds of crazy stuff that I don't want to mention on air. And actually, he, when we were talking that night, he did say that there were fights and arrests with, like, there's this woman that showed up at, like, 7 a.m. and cut in line, and the guy behind her, like, said, "Excuse me, I've been waiting in this line since, like, 10 p.m. the night before," and... She almost tried to kill him, and the cops had to be called, and she was being hauled off in handcuffs when he came out with his Xbox. And I believe the guy that she cut in front of did get his Xbox, if I remember correctly.
Yet another reason why I love the holidays.
Yes, isn't it wonderful?
It brings out the best in people, of course.
Merry Hanukkah.
So, just a reminder, we are streaming live again tonight.
Oh, yes, you might as well get those numbers out there.
Yeah, so if you want to call in and ask a question, assuming that Zygmunt is now sitting waiting to take your questions, call 800-732-0442 from within the United States or from outside the U.S. Call area code, country code 1, area code 213 415-1047, and we will answer your calls live. Yes, and the topic tonight, not theory, what is the topic tonight?
The topic tonight is how MySQL is the best database ever.
Oh my god, we are so going to just cut that clip up, and I want to play it every once in a while whenever you
pick
me up.
Why do I open my mouth ever? God damn it.
MySQL is the best database ever.
That's going to go on a soundboard somewhere. Thank God that I'm sick. At least, you know, it'll sound like crap.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to get you drunk or something. Make you dead again.
That won't be a problem. I'm sure I'll be there at DEF CON and HOPE. Anyway, so the topic of the show is Postgres and how it is the best database ever.
Yeah, see, the reason why I had you introduce it because I wasn't completely sure how to pronounce it. So look at me, I'm tricky over there.
You know, I've been using it for like 3 years now, and I don't know how to pronounce it either. I just say Postgres. PostgreSQL is a little too much for me. So Postgres,
PostgreSQL.
Yeah, well, it could be. But the thing, you know what? I don't like pronouncing it SQL because SQL is like a Microsoft thing. Like Microsoft calls their server SQL Server, but everybody calls it MySQL. You know, the language itself is called SQL.
You know, the CEO of MySQL calls it MySQL.
Get out of here.
No, I'm
serious. Don't give him another excuse to hate MySQL. Jeez.
With the guy. He says MySQL.
Really? I'm impressed. I really thought that, you know, SQL was a Microsoft creation. That's just what they started calling it. They just caught on. No. But I stand corrected. That's pretty crazy. Well, in any case, I'll give MySQL its props where it's due. I'm not going to trash it. I'm not going to go crazy about that. I might even say some nice things about Microsoft SQL. We'll see.
Yeah. Holy crap. He's actually going to say, but geez, I didn't expect this out of him. Bonus.
I actually can say nice things every once in a while. It's just not often.
Not nice things about MySQL or MySQL or whatever you call it.
Yeah, I don't know what you call it, but
I didn't think that was possible with you. I thought you like burst in the flames.
No. There's a few things I could say about it that are nice. I will when the time comes.
When the time comes. Well, let's go hurry that time along and go straight into email.
Our first email is from Machine Screw, and he says, Frapper is what you're looking for. I was going to set one up for you guys. I did one for Rant Radio at www.frapper.com/rantradio. I set the default view because I knew Rant Radio had people in Australia and that we need to see them. I set it up 2 weeks ago, and there are 200-plus listeners. This is apparently in response to our question about doing a map or our, just kind of our – what I made a throwaway comment about having a map where we have.
Did you do that, or I said, I don't know. One of us did.
No, I think I came up with the idea of having like a big map where people stick where I stick pins in where the listeners are.
Oh yes, you did. Okay, so it wasn't my idea. Oh shucks. I did. This is what I was thinking of when you were saying it, and I was like, oh, I saw this online service, and this is exactly what I was thinking of, and I'm going to also send a shout-out to Cypress, who also sent in the link about literally 2 minutes after this email, but he was a little bit slow, so he didn't get right on the air. So I set up a map. It's at frapper.com/binaryrevolutionradiolisteners. Now, because just rather than spill everything out, it's tinyurl.com/9charliehotel5alpha. And just so everyone knows, it's frapper.com. I announced it on the forums this weekend, and I believe I also mentioned it in the IRC channel a couple times. But for those of you who don't hang out in the forums or the IRC channels, what the hell's wrong with you? Go there anyway. But here you go. That's the link. Go push yourself in. And I think our current number right now is 51. That's what we stood at this afternoon. I think it'd be cool if we could break 100.
Yeah,
however,
awesome.
We've
done so far is posted on the message board. We haven't announced it on the show yet.
Yeah, so
hopefully,
you never know.
Yeah, hopefully our listeners will go and madly start sticking pins into the Google Map.
Yes, Google Maps. Good stuff. I think it'd be cool if we could break 100. That's my goal. So,
well, I just added myself, so...
Oh, not there. I believe you're our first New York listener, or...
Really?
Let's take a look.
Well, we'll
this
find
is actually
out.
Pretty cool. I was actually a little more excited about it at first because I thought it was somehow tying into the radio server and finding IPs and doing all kinds of nonsense, but still is pretty cool getting mm-hmm. people to sign up for this.
I'm sure we could do that. Out of anybody, I'm sure you could do that. Jesus Christ, you code wizard, you.
I could. I probably don't have the time to do it, seeing how I can't get anything done anymore. But we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that later, exactly. Yeah. We're going to put you on the hot seat, and people are going to know what the hell's up.
Oh, man, it's going to be awful.
On a sort of semi-unrelated note, you know, I'm kind of disturbed by this trend of we can't think up a name for something, so we just, like, they make up a name that doesn't have anything to do with the product, but it's a nonsense word, and nobody has the domain yet, so... That's what the domain is called.
I mean, oh, you don't think Frapper means anything?
Well, I don't see how. Yeah, I don't see how Frapper, you know, translates into sticking pins on a map.
I'm not really sure. Maybe there's like an About Us somewhere that explains it. Who knows?
Strom, you're on that. I mean, well, also look at Napster. Napster was the Sean Fanning's nickname.
Uh-huh.
No. Hold on.
What?
Frapper does have a meaning. It stands for Friend Mapper.
Ah!
Yay for totally non-apparent meanings.
Yeah, totally. It's just, I think it was a crap name and they found a meaning for it, so whatever. But it was a cool service, though.
What they probably just did is they said, okay, let's get friendmapper.com. Damn, that's registered. How about Friendapper? No. And they kept on, like, subtracting letters until they finally got Frapper. Like,
yeah,
fine,
yeah,
just
yeah.
Register it. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Yes, well, I've actually been fooling around with Google Maps, but more on that later. Right after we grill with Knot Theory.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Our next email tonight is from Kitchy. Or that's at least how
he says Kitcha. It's
Kitcha?
Like kitchen, yeah, kitchen without the end of the end of it. So it ends with a schwa sound, not an N. So Kitcha. So he writes...
Yeah, I thought what he said on the IRC was K-I-T-C-H-E.
Yeah, and then I said kitchen without the N, and then I said K-I-T-C-H-Schwa, and he said, yeah, that's right.
Oh.
So,
all right.
The email says, Dear Binrev, I would like to say thank you for having such a wonderful internet radio show. Now on to the topic on why I emailed you. A couple of episodes ago, you were talking about single-letter domains, and, well, it seems that the Internet Oversight Agency is going to let these letters become open to the public. I was wondering what your take is on this.
Yeah.
And email.
Yeah, my honest opinion, I really don't care. And they're cool and all, but, 95%. What's going to happen immediately when they go on the market? 95% of them within, like, the first second are going to be, like, you know, put up by sex sites and crazy shit and, you know, horrible redirecting search engines and Trojan horses and all that wonderful stuff and those annoying squatters. And basically what they're going to try to do is resell them for like 20,000 times more than what the heck they originally paid. And really, who wants to pay $100 million for F.com?
Hey, I don't know, F.com sounds pretty cool. It could be short for Frapper.
Yeah.
Hey, if I could get it for cheap, I'd get X.com.
Well, apparently... This is kind of bold, because x.org is already taken.
Yeah, but there's a different group that administers the .orgs, right?
No. Well, this is all done by ICANN, and they take care of everything. There's also this, I was reading the news story on this, because it was on Slashdot today, and I'm actually kind of rehashing Slashdot news, and there's, like, you know, six or seven ones taken, one of which I knew off the top of my head was x.org. But there's, like, you know, q.com or something. I can have Q.com. We can have everything about that. The engineer from James Bond. The Q homepage fan page.
Oh, I'm pleased to report that Zygmunt has finally come to his senses and is now screening our call. So, again, I'll repeat the number:
Zygmunt is standing by.
Yeah, operators, and by operators we mean Zygmunt, are standing by at 800-732-0442, or if you're calling from outside the U.S., area code 213-415-1047.
For, like, the Christmas episode, we should have, like, you know, two or three people, and, like, mm-hmm. be like PBS and, like, ask for money. Donate now! Starving
and
children!
Get a free BINREV tote bag at the $50 level. At the $150 level, get Cat Sex autographed by Strom Carlson and Black Ratchet.
I was thinking that shirt you made.
What, the Bell System shirt?
No, the I listen to BINREV radio religiously, and I'll go...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I made a t-shirt. I listened religiously to Binary Revolution Radio, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt, and then a frowny face.
Alrighty,
so,
then.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't want one of those? Anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, I guess it's kind of cool, but I never understood why they blocked him in the first place. So, whatever. Personally, I want him to open up .int. Which a lot of people don't know about. It's an international domain. It's sort of like a .us or .fr, and it stands for like international entities, because I think it's like un.int, that's the UN website. Then there's NATO.int, and there's like four or five different ones out there. And I want them to open it up and register it so I can buy unsigned.int or like signed.int.
That would be nice.
That would be cool.
Actually, I think the ITU has a .int page also.
The ITU, yep.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to get low.iq, but the Iraqi registrar will not give it to me. So I've emailed and got nothing. So.
Well, that's actually like this big thing, because apparently like the Iraqi government wants it back, but like it's owned by like it's currently administered by this group in Texas that doesn't want to give it away. And there's like this major battle going on. At least there was a major battle going on about 6 or 7 months ago.
Really?
I initially read about it. It was humorous.
How exactly did they get control of it? Do you have any idea?
Well, because I think it was along the lines of because it was ITU and UN, and they were under UN sanctions when the internet came around and they started assigning all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, well, you can't have it until you are not under sanctions anymore. So they cut this company in Texas to do it or something. I'm not exactly sure how they got it, but I believe that was how it went down.
Okay.
So, you never know. Maybe someday you can get low.iq.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Or high.iq.
No, I want low.
Genius.iq.
Moron.iq.
Yeah, well,
the possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm.
It's like retarded. I think it's like retarded. Mentally, mental retardation. IQ. You know?
Should we move on to the next email?
Yes, we should.
Okay, our next email is from Hack5190, and he says, "Strom Carlson and Black Ratchet, thanks for reading my email on episode number 123 regarding running asterisk on OpenWRT. Sitting under my desk is an unused WRT54G, so adding asterisk seemed like a good use for it. I already have a good supply of paperweights and Linux boxes around here, so I'll take your advice and head down the Linux install route for experience before I attempt the Linksys install." Black Ratchet asks, "Where the 5190 my name's come from? It was my first hacking project, a then-current Nokia 5190 cell phone. Even though my projects have expanded beyond the cellular world, the name stuck."
And I got to say, mainly the reason I put this on was I was deadly curious about the 5190, and we were actually kind of desperate for emails this week, so we put it on here. Good thought on the whole not attempting it until you get a firm grasp on how to install Linux. And I would just like to say, you know, 5190 sucks, 5165 forever. Biatch.
5190 is the GSM model, so GSM forever. Damn you and your TDMA.
Oh, screw you, because GSM sucks.
I like GSM.
Oh,
no,
yeah, sure.
Well, you know, it's a sticky situation. GSM is cool because you could swap SIM cards and all
exactly.
That nonsense. But still, you know, CDMA and other standards, they got some merit to them.
Dude, see, I'm totally digging CDMA now ever since I found about EVDO.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Even back
in the day, a couple of years ago when I had Sprint, I was using my Sprint phone to connect to the internet before I had DSL, and man, it was whipping fast. Unbelievable in New York. So CDMA has got it made for data. Everybody tells me that GSM is going to have, I think it's called UMTS or something, that's going to make it really fast too, but I don't know when it's going to happen.
Well, there's Edge for GSM, which is, I don't know, it's something, extended data for the GSM something, mumble.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposedly, like, out now, and then there's whatever the hell's happening down the road.
We have a call.
We have a call? Let's get a call in since we're sort of in between here.
Okay, this is Dark Source. Let me pull him in. Guys, keep talking while I bring him in.
So, not a theory. What's going on?
Hey, not much. I'm just waiting for a phone call.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're having a four-way on Minrev Radio. Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
Oh, yeah. We need porn music while we're waiting for people to come in.
Well, hopefully soon I'll have my laptop back up so I can start having soundboards in the middle of the show.
Yeah, and I need to get better at having this ready so I can bring callers in, like, right now. Say hello. Say hello to Dark Source.
Hello, Dark Source.
Hello. Hey, Ratchet. Hey, Strom. How's it going?
Doing well. How are you, man?
What, you don't like Not
Theory?
Pretty good.
Not
Theory?
Yeah, hey, what's up, Not Theory?
What's up, man?
All right. Got a question for you guys. Just got an IPAC phone that has Wi-Fi built in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for a good client, either SIP or IAX, that supports G729.
You're running on Windows, whatever they call the Windows CE thing now?
Yeah, Windows Pocket Mobile. PC, yeah.
I believe SJ Phone. Oh, God, we're having a VoIP question, aren't we? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I believe SJ Phone supports G729.
Okay. Have you ever hooked that up with Asterisk, or does it work well? Or
yes, I've hooked it up for Asterisk. However, it's quite flaky for me, and I think that was partially because my Asterisk box was behind a NAT, and it didn't particularly like that. I believe it supports SJ Phone supports G729. However, what it is, the problem with it is that they released it for a while, and then they stopped releasing it they released it for free for a while, and then they stopped releasing it for free, and technically they don't anymore. However, what you can do is you can find a older version of it, which still works fine, and it is. And it's also a bit of a memory hog, if I remember correctly.
Is it SIP only?
Yes, it's only SIP. There is no EEX soft phone for Pocket PC yet.
Okay,
so
I'm trying to figure out why you'd want to use G729. I mean, I that's the one you have to pay money for, isn't it?
Well, I actually purchased the license.
Oh, okay.
But just for lower bandwidth, that's the only reason, really.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of these will also support GSM. So,
well, I know for a fact SJ Phone supports GSM.
Mm-hmm. Sounds roughly the same, and it costs less money.
Yes.
That's why, if forced to use a low bandwidth codec, I'll choose one of the free ones rather than the 4K
one. I believe there's like 3 or 4 codecs that supports, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, not there. Are you big on the whole Pocket PC thing?
Actually, I'm brand new to it. I just got it today.
How about you, not theory?
I'm planning on getting one. It's just I'm having a really hard time choosing which one because there's a choice between, you know, ARM, which I'm not into at all, Windows Mobile 2003, and then Windows Mobile 5.0. And I really want Windows Mobile 5.0, but everything that supports it is just really expensive. So,
well, the one I just got today is actually has the singular cell network as well as Wi-Fi built in. And it's pretty cool. I like it a lot. I can go, but what I want to do is be able to use SIP when I have Wi-Fi and be able to use the cell when I don't.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Yes, I think there was a phone out there that did that, if I remember correctly. But
this one's HP 6325.
Yeah, these HP ones are nice. I personally am a fan of the Axims, the X50 and the X51 and that series.
Uh-huh.
But I played with IPACs before. They're pretty cool. And I believe also if you have Singular built into it, I'm not sure if your little mess with it is, IPACs are much better supported under handhelds.org and Qtopia and all that good stuff.
Cool.
What about Familiar? That's what I'm thinking of. Familiar, the Linux distribution for IPACs. So, well, look in SJPhone. That's the only. I also think there's a couple other SIP clients out there, but I believe SJPhone is the most reliable and or free one.
Well, sounds great. I'll check it out. Hey, I enjoyed your guys' show at DEF CON. I was there, so.
Oh, it's busy.
Shout out to that.
Oh, cool, cool. Hopefully you'll be at the next DEF CON.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to FedCon here soon.
Cool, cool. I should be doing a talk there. So.
Oh,
I've already got one in the works.
Cool.
Oh.
Well, all right, you guys have a good one.
Hurting. You too.
Right.
Have a good one, man. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm hurt that I was not informed of this.
Well, no, I just... I've just kind of come to a conclusion recently,
and
I'm going to do another talk. So
I should get like working on DEF CON by phone and Hope by phone, so it's not I don't have to write it the day of.
Yeah, what I think we really need to do this time is actually like have some sort of a menu tree beforehand on paper, so we know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah, so know what we're doing. Oh, that's no fun. Come on, maybe we can
write it.
Yeah, maybe we can write it all so it's just all uses Postgres.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. That's your job. You're the coding, I'm the talking.
Exactly. A whole lot of talking. So, Strom, we'll start with you first, then we'll meet, and then we'll go down to knot theory. What have you been doing lately?
Lately, I have been doing about the same things I've been doing before, just more with the smart cards and following the AT&T merger, and that's been about it. I haven't really done much hacking this week, per se.
Well, you made a phone call today, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I just for kicks, I called up SBC's corporate headquarters in San Antonio just to see what would happen. And so, it says, thank you for calling AT&T powered by SBC. For residential service, press 1. For business service, press 2. For all other inquiries, press 3. So you press 3 during business hours, and their receptionist answers. SBC powered by AT&T powered by SBC. This is Anna. Can I help you? That's about as far as I got.
Oh, you didn't ask for Mr. Whitaker?
No, I didn't think to ask for Mr. Whitaker, though. I think it would be cute. We can't really do it during the show since they're closed, but I think it would be amusing to call up Mr. Whitaker and leave in his voicemail box a rendition of us singing something like Happy Merger to You.
And he'll get all warm and fuzzy inside then.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can do it for the chairman of Verizon when they finish their merger with MCI.
True, true. Well, they just got approval for that, I believe.
They've got California approval and federal approval. I think the only hurdle for them are a couple of states that they still need to be approved in.
I wonder if Massachusetts approved them.
I forget. I know with the AT&T merger, California was the last holdout, and then pretty much the day California gave their approval, the merger closed.
Hmm. So anyway, for me at least, I've been I broached into the wonderful world of Google Maps, and I finally sat down and started looking at all their API and everything. And hopefully sooner rather than later, and a few people have already seen this, I'm going to start working it into yet another payphone list, so you can get pretty maps on every page when you bring up a phone. And it sort of works. I've actually been it actually maps it. It just looks absolutely hideous on the web page. I need to find a way of working it in so it actually looks not like this horrible kludge that it currently does. I salvaged my server. Finally, I copied all my data off it. I hooked it up to what was my TiVo, and currently is just this machine that's designed for copying stuff over the network. And I finally got all the old... I brought myself peace of mind by getting all the BinRev radio episodes off of it, all the raw ones that we keep online, all 20 gigs worth. And copied over, and the catalyst for this is that I've also recently bought another 160 gig drive for my desktop. And, that's about it. So not theory.
Hey, what's up?
What have you been doing?
I've been sitting on a beach in the British Virgin Islands doing nothing for like the past 4 months.
Ah, I always assumed that. I assume you picked up that cold down in the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah, definitely. No, I've been working a lot, doing some pretty good business, which means that I haven't been doing much of anything with Bell's Mind. But there is an update planned for it, like there's been for a long time. it's partially finished, and the biggest issue with it right now is that I guess I can let everybody know I'm changing from PHP, and I know that you're going to love to hear this. I'm changing from PHP to Ruby on Rails. Now, initially, I was just going to play around with Ruby on Rails because it was, like, fashionable and cool and whatever. But after looking at it, it's, like, definitely, fundamentally, like, a better way to design web-based interfaces to big databases like that. So I'm going to get some Ruby on Rails, a little bit of Ajax going, pretty the thing up, and hopefully it'll be a lot more usable than it is now. Not that it's not usable now. It's just
So you really think Ruby on Rails is better than PHP for large databases?
Yeah, it just simplifies a lot of things. There's a very good separation of kind of like business logic and presentation logic. There's like a very, very strong line. Like, this is your presentation stuff, this is your database stuff, and they absolutely never mix unless you need to do something really weird. So that's really nice. So I can go and change it. Yeah, probably.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, but it's, you know what, you don't have to like spend your whole life doing it. You know what you can do? I'll have to send you some links on it. But there's a couple of videos that show some people throwing together some basic applications with Ruby on Rails. And this guy writes like a web blog with comment support and all this kind of stuff in like 5 minutes. It's really pretty awesome. And it's got some built-in Ajax support, so you know, there's like little tags that you can put in there that say, okay, when a user submits this, take the results from this script and put it here on the form. And it's like it's not convoluted at all. It's a very simple syntax that just makes sense when you do it. So it does a lot of the grunt work for you. You don't need to connect to your database. You basically put your database configuration in one place, and all your pages connect to it only if they need to. It understands how your database is laid out from the database driver. And you can just pull data out of it. You can search for data very easily. It's just awesome. I'm not saying PHP is dead or anything. PHP has more libraries that it can use than Ruby does right now. But PHP, for me personally, I'm only going to use it in applications that I'm already using it in, with the exception of Bell's Mind, which I'm going to rewrite. So that's about it.
Well, so. Maybe you'll have to re-redesign Yaml. Jesus. Damn you for giving me more work.
No. Well, check it out. Maybe you'll think that it just does the job quickly. But otherwise, you know, start a small project with it and see how it goes. That's what I did at first, and it went pretty well.
Well, I got to say, I am digging the whole Ajax thing. I was looking at online that, and I was going, oh shit, this stuff's pretty good.
Yeah,
may have to go work some stuff out.
Yeah, it's nice to have your applications responsive and not web-like. Like that's the biggest problem for me is when I'm using an application on the web, it's slow and clunky. I don't like it.
Yep.
But, you know, Gmail, Google Maps, MSN Virtual Earth, or Microsoft Virtual Earth, whatever it's called, like, all these things are real slick web applications.
You know, I've never actually played with Virtual Earth, mainly because Google Maps has everything. But
well, you know something?
That out too.
Virtual Earth actually has a lot of things that are better than Google Maps, believe it or not. It's scary, but no, it's scary, but there's actually, you know what, it's been a long time since I've even used Windows, and I finally switched over when I got a new desktop and new laptop. Not switched, but, you know, put it on those machines and checked it out, and man, Microsoft does a couple of things right. I gotta give them credit. And Virtual Earth, the one thing I like about it better than Google Maps is I think that the satellite imagery that they have is better than the Google Maps stuff. Sometimes Google Maps satellite imagery is like true color, you know, it's like real color, and some of it's like gray, and some of it's pink, and like all kinds of weird stuff. Virtual Earth seems to be a little bit more uniform, at least the places that I'm looking. So,
well, actually, what I did hear is apparently, well, Virtual Earth may be more uniform, but it's older. Like, for example, if you this was a big hoo-ha about a couple months ago, where if you went on to Virtual Earth and you looked at for Apple's Cupertino campus, all you saw was this big parking lot, or like this just
really?
This giant dirt pile. And everyone thought, oh my God, they erased it. They're a bunch of idiots. And I actually sat down and I looked at my lug list, actually sent this out to me, and I looked at it and I was like, well, no, that looks like construction equipment. And sure enough, when this actually hit like the register and everything, they said, oh yeah, it's actually before, their photograph is actually before the campus was built, like 1991
uh-huh.
or so.
Yeah, that's an old photograph. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, but for a lot of the satellite stuff, it's not really all that important. Some places, of course, where they're doing lots of construction, yeah, it makes a difference. But for what I'm looking for, you know, I just want the nice uniform graphics, no, like, weird edges in the middle of stuff, you know.
Well, one of the misconceptions I find that people, like, I run into all the time when talking to people about this thing is that all the images on, like, Google Earth and, you know, Google Maps are all satellite images, and they're not. The close-range stuff is all aerial photography.
Oh, right. You are right. Yes. But they still are mismatched in places, and it's annoying.
Well, like, a lot of the stuff that they're mismatched in is when it, like, flips over from aerial photography to satellite, and it looks absolutely horrid.
Right.
But actually, a lot of the stuff from, if you ever look at Cambridge, Massachusetts on the Google Earth client, I assume Google Maps as well, that's actually all imagery from satellite.
Hmm.
And it's all like one meter orthogonal. It's pretty sweet. Like you see people. It's creepy. Cause,
whoa,
apparently
really?
It's awesome if you ever look at it. Apparently what it was like, there were some people at MIT that had gobs of money, so they hooked it up over to Cambridge and said, yeah, we're doing satellite imagery. Do you want to have like Cambridge like all done? We have like spare cash sitting around. And they're like, okay. So, now all their maps are down to like 1 meter resolution. It's pretty insane.
Wow. Now this is on Google Earth or Google Maps or both? Because I think they use different sources.
I know for a fact it's on Google Google Earth, but I think it also might be on Google Maps as well, because I believe it actually got worked into the state of Massachusetts has imagery for the entire state. Like they did it themselves for like GIS work. And I believe they've worked it into that. So, and that's where Google Maps gets it. So they may have it, they may not, I don't know. And I'm on VoIP, so I'm not going to download it and get all garbled up.
Oh, no, I'm checking it out right now.
Ah, good shit. So, okay, well, our next question is, what's up with Freak Factor?
Ouch, oh, man, you guys don't pull any punches. This isn't like
no.
A bullshit TV interview. Oh, man.
Well, really, I mean, the only reason I'm asking is because I constantly get asked, like, oh, man, when's the Freak Factor coming on? Don't you know? No, I don't.
You know what the funny thing about it is? When the show was on, everybody said it was stupid, and what's the point, and all this kind of crap, and as soon as it went off the air, like, everybody's like, oh, my God, where did it go? But I don't know. You know what? It's as I'm doing the transition from the old Bell's Mind server to the new Bell's Mind server, I'm moving Freak Factor over, and I'm trying to do one project at a time so one actually gets done. And Freak Factor is just going to have to wait until Bell's Mind is back up, just because the way things are going for me. So it could be 2 weeks. It could be 3 weeks. Who knows? But it is coming back. In some form or another, eventually.
Do you want to say by the new year? Or do you just want to not say any date at this point?
Well, you know what the problem is with the whole new year thing? It's like, around the holidays, I don't really have all that much time to sit around and program, because I've got to do all kinds of family nonsense. So, I can't really guarantee I'll have that much time to dedicate. And I may not even be in the U.S. for some of the holidays, so...
Ooh, not theories, the international man of mystery.
Yeah, well, I'm going back to British Virgin Islands, come on.
Yeah, true. Gonna have a Mai Tai, gonna request your margarita with no salt.
We need
exactly.
Buy music right now.
Gonna be sitting
oh,
there.
Man.
I'm gonna report you to the tourist bureau.
No, I don't know that I'll be doing that. There's a possibility I'll go out of the country, but... If I do get a chance to go out of the country, that means that there will be no Bell's Mind and no Freak Factor. Sorry, guys. Unless unless people want to start sending me PayPal payments that will pay me off so I don't go on vacation. But I really don't think that's going to happen. So.
Yeah, we have enough trouble getting people to call the show for free and say, hi, ask, here's a question.
What's the PayPal address? I'll PayPal you like a cent or something.
Nice. Hey, you know what? I don't have any faith anybody's going to do that because, like you said, you guys have problems getting people even calling your show. I have problems getting people to even email me to tell me that they even ever used Bell's Mind. I got, like, one person. I got an email from War saying that he liked Freak Factor, and I got an email from somebody else saying, yeah, I want Bell's Mind back up. I think it was Coder. But other than that, I hear things from other people. Like Natus will tell me, oh, people are asking when Bell's Mind's going to be back up, but you'll tell me people want to know when Freak Factor's going to be back up. But nobody ever tells me. I don't know why. So.
Because you're this unapproachable guy who's constantly hanging out down the Virgin Islands. They don't want to air you and, like, you know, get owned.
That's true. I might start another hurricane.
Yeah, exactly. so Epsilon's you? Who pissed you off this time?
You know, it was the DMV this time. I was very angry.
Fuck.
I don't want to go into it.
Well, yeah, there you go. Now you got two emails.
So yeah, all of you who are calling or who are listening and are too lazy to call in, pick up your telephone and give us a call with whatever question you want to ask us. 800-732.
Great, not theory on the air about the lack of Bell's Mind.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Here's your opportunity to do it live and humiliate him in front of all. How many listeners do we have right now? 20 listeners live.
20 listeners.
Many listen to the podcast. So.
Definitely call up, scream at me, telling me I'm a terrible person, and I will do nothing but sit back and thank you for it.
Yes. 800-732-0442. I repeat, 800-732-0442. Or if you're calling from outside the U.S., outside the U.S., area code 213-415-1047, prefixed obviously with whatever code you dial to access the United States.
112, then 215, and then the number.
And busy signals are our best bargain. They cost a penny.
Anyway.
Oh, man, I do have email. Man, you are a sneaky bastard.
Yes, I am a sneaky bastard.
So, should we get into our specific topic?
Well, let's go sit back and watch Not Theory rant and rave here.
Okay.
Well, my first question that I have written down here was, how do you actually pronounce Postgres? So, we already sort of mentioned that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Not Theory, what is Postgres, SQL? Postgres,
well,
SQL.
The simple answer is that it's a database. The slightly longer answer is that it's a free database that's been developed for many, many, many years. That's pretty much on par with, I don't know if I'd say on par with Oracle, but I definitely know that the comparisons I've done between it and Microsoft SQL Server, it surpasses Microsoft SQL Server in some places, and it's, you know, very close in others. So, I would say right now it's the most feature-packed, reliable, free database that's anywhere, essentially.
How does it compare to, say, MySQL?
Oh, man. Who can compare to MySQL? Well, let me tell you. MySQL 5.0.
I can compare to MySQL because it's just so fucking awesome.
I know. It's the absolute best. No, seriously. I'll try to be as serious as I can about this without screaming and flipping out, especially since I'm sick. I probably can't scream and flip out. So,
well, you can try to scream, and then you'll just kind of end up sounding hoarse.
Yeah. But you guys will see a kinder, gentler Not Theory, because I can't yell.
Thank you, cold virus.
So, MySQL does a few things really well. It's simple, kind of, and it's fast. And people like to use it because, you know, it comes with Red Hat or Red Hat Enterprise Linux or whatever. It comes with a lot of systems, either pre-installed or as a package that's very easy to install. Personally, I don't think MySQL is easier to use than Postgres, but we won't even get into that. But like I said, it's very simple. I think Postgres, you can get by just creating user accounts and using it in a very simple fashion like that, but Postgres gives you the freedom to, like, really get into databases and say, like, I want to start learning triggers and stored procedures and, you know, rules and roles and all kinds of stuff like that that MySQL actually may support in version 5.0, but I haven't checked it out too much yet. Yeah, so in general, I just think Postgres is probably, if I had to guess, I'd say 2 or 3 years ahead of where MySQL is. Like, I know MySQL now does have triggers and some sort of procedures and whatnot, but, you know, Postgres has had them for years.
How long has Postgres been, how long has Postgres been around?
I think, I want to say it's like 8 years, but I could be wrong.
Well, we can look it up for you.
Yeah, I do remember the MySQL was out before Postgres. Okay, since you're talking about all this, I am a MySQL baby, MySQL, or whatever you want to call it. What in God's name are all these things? Triggered, stored procedures, complex joins.
Okay. Let's start out with how you would use the database very simply. Using the SQL, the structured query language, using the SQL language, you would get data out of your database by using something like a select statement, or you would put data in your database using an insert statement or an update statement. And in a very simple database, let's say you wanted to make a database of your friends and their phone numbers. You could say, you know, insert my friend's first name, my friend's last name, and my friend's phone number into this table. It's a pretty simple example of a database. But as you get to a database that's larger and larger, you know, inserting one piece of data may not be as simple as, you know, insert this one record into a table. You may have to insert things into, like, you know, 5 or 6 different tables. And in order to make sure that everything happens at one, you know, at one shot, you want to use what's called a transaction. A transaction says, I'm going to execute all these things, but if one of them fails, then roll back everything I did. If your database doesn't have transaction support, you have to constantly check and say, okay, did my last step work? If it didn't work, then let me go roll things back. And the problem with that is, let's say your last step didn't work because you lost your connection to your database. Well, now you can't roll those other things back, and now your database is left inconsistent. So transactions are something that MySQL does support with some extra software, but Postgres has supported for a long time. So that's big feature number one. Stored procedures are basically, if you want to make a function to do something, you could do it all on your client side, where you would say, okay, let me pass all these statements to my SQL, my Postgres server, and say, do this. And you could do it all on your side, but you could move all of that processing to the server side by taking all that code and putting it into a stored procedure and storing it in the database, and that saves you a lot of traffic. You don't have to go back and forth and say, insert this, was it successful? Insert this, was it successful? You can tell the database, hey, listen, I want to insert this piece of data. You already know how to do it. Go ahead and go off and do it, and when it's done, come back and tell me whether it was successful or not. So stored procedure is basically just a way to kind of like write a script that goes into your database and does a whole bunch of work for you. So you're being nice in your network resources, and you're keeping all the processing on the server side where it belongs. Triggers. Triggers are something that you can tell the database when a certain action happens, like let's say somebody inserts a record into the database, you say, somebody inserts a new person into the database, I want to insert a piece of data into like an audit trail that says, okay, on this date and time, somebody added somebody to the database or somebody deleted somebody to the database. So a trigger is just basically a piece of code that executes itself when it sees either a select, an update, an insert, or a delete statement. And it can be very nice for security because you can have a table that your users can't touch, that has an audit trail that says this user did this, and this. And if your user has ability to insert, update, and delete from your table, they won't be able to delete from the audit trail. So if they go in there and, like, let's say, delete a couple of sales out of your cash register and then try to pocket the money, you can go back into the audit trail that's set up with triggers and then check and say, okay, well, you inserted a bunch of these sales and then you deleted them, and now the money's missing. So what happened? So it can be a security thing. It can be just basically, you know, a logging thing, or it can actually make your database, you know, enforce some kind of rules. You can say if somebody tries to insert a record here, make sure it matches this, and then insert another record here, stating that it did match all the criteria. You can actually even have triggers roll back statements if they don't meet certain criteria. So in that sense, they're kind of like, they can kind of be like stored procedures as well. But instead of executing it explicitly, it kind of executes in the background, and you don't really know about it. So those are a couple of things that, that Postgres does that MySQL is just starting to do. And like I said, if you're doing a simple database, it doesn't really matter, if you have all these features or not. But if you really want your database to do a lot of really cool things and be consistent all the time, you need transactions, and you need triggers. And basically, in my opinion, in MySQL, you just can't get along without them. So that's why I think Postgres is the way to go. So that was kind of a very long answer that encompassed a lot of things. So if there's anything that's unclear, definitely ask me to expand upon, and I will expand away.
No, I think you pretty much nail it down for most of the stuff.
I've answered. I found answers to our questions about history and pronunciation.
Who's your mommy?
Okay.
Oh, not that question.
Okay, the correct pronunciation is PostgreSQL.
Okay.
There's even a handy-dandy MP3 file that tells you what it is.
Wow, cool.
It sounds like this.
PostgreSQL.
All right, that's too soft.
PostgreSQL.
There we go.
Wow.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm learning.
And okay, so the basic summarized history is that the guy at Berkeley was working on Ingres, the Ingres project, got sick of it. He left it to commercialize it in 82 and eventually returned to academia. He started working on Postgres, you know, post-Ingres, in 1985. First release was in June 1989, and it's been rewritten since then.
Wow. Okay, so it's been out much longer than I thought. Pretty cool.
That's pretty insane. I didn't think it was out that long, but I guess I was wrong. Okay,
yeah,
well,
and if you go to the About page also, there's a couple of interesting factoids about it. Like, the maximum database size is unlimited. I don't know how they pull that off. But maximum table size is 32 terabytes. Maximum row size is 1.6 terabytes. And maximum field size, get this, is 1 gigabyte. So Postgres can handle huge data sets, whereas
finally,
again,
can encode the entire porn movies into one row.
Yeah, seriously, not bad.
So I'm just curious because they say maximum database size is unlimited. What happens if I have like a 800 meg hard drive? I really don't think I'm gonna have 32 terabytes on there.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I say that unlimited is just strange. I don't know how they can deal with that, but.
Yeah.
It's practically unlimited.
Crazy, crazy encryption. All right. Well, you were saying that MySQL is simple to get running. So, but like, you know, the other side of that, does that mean that, you know, PostgreSQL is hard to get running?
Actually, no. You know, people always say MySQL is very easy to get running, and it is if you have a package that installs it. And even if you're compiling from source, it's really not that hard. But I guess when I first started using Postgres, I was like, oh, man, it's going to be so complicated, because I looked at the feature set, and it was just, you know, light years beyond anything else I had seen before, with the exception of commercial databases. So I was like, wow, this is going to be a real hassle to install. But it turned out, you know, I built it from source. I run initdb, and then I run create user and create database, and I've got a database up and running. So, you know, Postgres, especially since a lot of distributions like Gen2, we have to mention Gen2, they have packages for it that you can just install it, no problem. And it's got, you know, a little blurb after you get it installed that says you have to do this, this, and this to set it up. And man, I think it's really easy. User administration in Postgres is just cake. On the command line, you want to create a new user, you type create user and the username, and it creates it. That's it. In MySQL, if you want to do it, you have to, at least from what I've seen, you have to connect to the database, and you have to insert a row into some table that, you know, some user table that says this is the username, this is the user password, and all this other stuff. You know, it's simple also, but it's a few more steps than just typing create user and the username. So,
no, I will admit that MySQL sucks for user administration. Unless you're using their wonderful graphic client, it sucks.
Right.
It sucks hard.
We do have a question about integration with Apache and PHP and Perl.
Sure.
Sure,
go
you
for
can
it.
Bring on in. That. Yeah, let me, I think it's Right Coast. Let's see.
Because that's actually one of my questions is, you know, how easy is it to get running with all this crazy stuff? Is Bell's, I assume that Bell's Mind is all in Postgres.
Yes, Bell's Mind is all Postgres. And it's running with PHP, so right there it's just PHP. It's not very hard to get running.
I guess you're an expert.
Yeah.
I will admit that, you know, that YAPL is all MySQL.
And like I said, that's totally fine. I don't hate people that use MySQL. I hate when people say that MySQL is easier to administer without actually looking at the two of them. Or I hate people that say MySQL is faster without actually giving me a real comparison, you know, that type of stuff. Baseless comparisons are what I dislike about the whole MySQL versus Postgres thing.
Well, I think that Postgres was pretty hard to administer back in, like, when Linux started starting. Like, because I remember looking at it in, like, 98, 99, and it was clunky. It was really clunky.
Yeah.
And like
yeah,
everything
actually,
was, most of the code out there then 1998 was all playing MySQL. So when I started doing that's what I used.
Right. And I had the same problem. I used MySQL also back then because I saw that Postgres was like I said had tons of features and there wasn't that much example code. And when I started using MySQL, I was like, what else do I need besides select, insert, update, and delete? But then I saw the light.
We have Right Coast on the line.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well.
Hanging on there.
How about you?
Well, what I was wondering is, basically, I have some programming experience in Perl. You know, I took college programming theory classes, you know, the intro to programming type stuff. I have an Apache machine. It's a Debian server. And I figured if, you know, learn your through your pitfalls or whatever, if you had to do it over again, what would you start out with and, do you know any good books on exactly where you would start? I mean, I've never used SQL at all.
It's kind of hard to say. Honestly, I would probably... Wow, man. It is really hard to say. I would say start out with PHP and Perl, and I would, of course, choose Postgres. But try to find yourself just a straight-up database theory book and or maybe some, like, database... You know, doing projects with databases or something.
Yeah, I've got a really good book on databases here. Let me grab it and I'll read you guys the ISBN number.
Okay. I've heard that there's a book called PHP and Postgres. I think Nat is telling me about it. I would look it up and see if you can find it, and it should.
Okay. Yeah.
Should give you a pretty good idea how to get started.
I bought setting up LAMP, so I have them all running now. So that's what I was wondering is how to integrate SQL into that.
Well, personally, my opinion is just start Googling and bang against it yourself. That's the true hacker way, man.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I would say at least start with a goal at first. Like think of something, you know, that you would like to organize in the database, even if it's just a stupid pet project where you say, okay, I'm going to make, like I said, make a list of my friends and their phone numbers or something like that, and then slap a user interface on it. You know, try to keep everything as simple as possible and then just expand on it and say, okay, well, now maybe I want to put their addresses in it, or now maybe I want to put, you know, I don't know, what kind of car they drive or something. Just, I say keep bolting onto it until you've kind of outgrown it and then start with a bigger project.
Yeah, this book is called An Introduction to Database Systems by C.J. Date. This is apparently the granddaddy of all database intro books, and it's pretty good. I mean, I've been reading it. I haven't gotten that far into it just because I've been distracted with other things. But so far, it's a damn good book.
Now, is it about SQL or is it about just databases?
I think databases in general. Well, let's see, databases in general, and then it. Well, let me take a look at the table of contents here.
Because there are non SQL databases. Personally, I've never used them before, but
yeah.
People always tell me, "Oh yeah, there are databases that don't use SQL."
Well, yeah, okay. So,
access.
There is a whole chapter on SQL, and then there's a chapter on there's a section on relational databases, database design, transaction management, and further topics. So I think it's more of a general concept book, but I think it's important to understand the concepts before you get into the nitty gritty.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's
and I think
that's probably what I would want to check out first too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you go online and you just look up people's SQL code for different maybe forums or something like that, you're probably going to find a lot of them don't use fancy features like transactions and stored procedures and stuff like that. So if you're just Googling around, you're going to learn the basics. But until you get a book like that that tells you, okay, you're going to need a transaction to do this, or you're going to want to do this with a stored procedure, you're not really going to get a very good understanding of why they're important and why they're going to make your life easier. So I would definitely recommend that.
ISBN number for this book, in case you want to look it up directly, is 0201-385-902.
749-18-27.
How did I know that was coming? Oh, man.
Come on, it was just so easy. It was just sitting out there. I'm like, oh.
555-2368.
Good old 2368.
Yep. Nothing beats it.
Well, thanks for the advice, guys.
You're very welcome, man.
All right.
No problem.
Take care. Have a good night.
So what do you too. Take care, man.
Okay. Talk to you later, man.
Bye-bye.
So, another thing I was saying before. Hold on one second. I gotta get myself a glass of water. Otherwise,
I'm gonna snort his cocaine.
Ah, yes, it's the only way for me to stay awake and get healthy is to do lines of blow on the air. So
now he's washing it down with some scotch.
Yeah, I thought drinking on the air was bad enough, but. Man,
I
think it'd be pretty fun to get drunk during an episode of BinRev Radio.
We should do that when we have nothing better to talk about. BinRev Radio, totally smashed edition.
You've never been
totally
drunk on a radio show?
No.
Actually, during Freak Factor, I got up to like 8 shots of tequila, but it really didn't have any effect on me for some reason.
Whoa. Okay, now I gotta applaud you for that.
I stupidly ate beforehand, so.
Mm.
Ah, the buffer effect. Yeah.
It's an amateur's mistake.
No. Yeah, I figure we'd just, not eat for a, supper, and then we'll just go in BinRev Radio. When's New Year's Eve? Maybe we could do a New Year's Eve episode.
Let me take a look. Yeah, is New Year's Eve on a... What day of the
Tuesday?
Week is it?
I don't think so.
New Year's Eve is a Saturday. Tuesday the 27th, and then Tuesday the 3rd. We could have a post Christmas pre New Year's party on BinRev Radio.
Possibly, we just join up to a conference bridge and just have everyone join.
Yeah, we could do that.
That sounds like people are here.
Yeah,
exactly.
Listeners, if you guys are up for that. Send us email.
Yes. All right. Well, getting back to Postgres, how supported is it?
What's that?
How supported is it? There's 15 bazillion discussion groups, and everyone just seems to use it. It always seems to. That's what they use, MySQL, and very rarely do you see.
Yeah, Postgres. There's a lot of web applications out there that don't use it, and I don't know why, because I don't think that if you're doing things the MySQL way from version 3.23 or 4.1.14 or whatever you're running, it shouldn't be that much work to port it to Postgres, because the syntax is almost identical because it's SQL. And if you're not using transactions, then it's no big deal, and even if you are, Postgres supports them. So I don't really get why people aren't using it. Now, MySQL has a couple of non-SQL standard quirks to it that might be tripping people up. But in general, I think that the migration is a lot easier than people think, and I think it's just, they don't want to be bothered with it. Supporting 2 or 3 or 4 databases is a real hassle. So I think a lot of projects want to avoid it.
That's interesting. I didn't know MySQL. I always hate when people have... proprietary extensions to SQL, because SQL, it's standard query language, standard, and everyone seems to forget that. Oracle, Microsoft, apparently MySQL, I apparently never run into that.
Yeah, I can actually...
I assume Postgres does as well, since everyone else does.
Yeah, you know, everybody deviates a little bit, but I think that MySQL does it in a few places that are dangerous. and I can enumerate the few that I'm familiar with, because I just actually finished a very, very large project for a customer involving MySQL, because they couldn't be talking Postgres. They said, oh, we've got Red Hat Enterprise Linux. It's already got MySQL installed. We need to use it. I was like, but why? And they're like, it's already installed. Didn't we just tell you? And so it was a lot of running around in circles and hand-waving and paranoia about, oh, no, we might have to install a new application. But they don't even know how to use MySQL anyway, so.
Did you tell them that MySQL makes baby Jesus cry?
You know, I didn't really think of it at the time, but maybe I'll go back and tell them. I guess it's too late. The project's done, though.
Yeah, you're doomed.
Yeah, pretty much. But I got paid for it already, so it's all good.
That's what matters.
Yeah, pretty much. The problems that I had with MySQL were timestamp fields. One of the big problems.
Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
Okay, let's say I have a field that has, like, okay, again, we'll go back to the address book example, because it's very simple. It's got, you know, somebody's first name, their last name, and their phone number, and we put a timestamp in there that says when we inserted the record, right? Well, and normally, if in SQL, you'd have to specify what the timestamp was, or you'd have to say the timestamp is set to now, meaning, like, whatever the time value is right now in the system, put that into my statement for me. Or you could specify and say, okay, well, you know, I inserted this last week, or I want to make it look like I inserted it last week. You can put whatever timestamp you want there. Well, MySQL, when it has a timestamp field, when you insert a record into a table, it conveniently ignores whatever you put in there. And this is at least as current as version 4.1, I think. So let's say you do an SQL insert, and you say, not even when the record was inserted, we'll say first name, last name, phone number, and the person's birthday, right? So I say, hey, Bob Jones, 5551212, and his birthday is February 14th, 1980, right? Well, when you do that insert in MySQL, it's going to take that February 14th, 1980, and just throw it out and replace it with the current timestamp. The scary thing is, it won't even tell you. It won't even put a warning up. It'll just do it. Now, in general, when SQL, you know, it's supposed to be, when SQL inserts something to it or is about to insert something into the database and it doesn't match what you told it, either because it can't convert the types or the data type can't hold a value that size, or you specified an invalid string or something like that, it's supposed to stop and give you an error and say, listen, I can't insert this data and here's why. Because otherwise you could just be inserting data and not know that it's all bad data. So when I was working on this project, I was inserting a bunch of stuff with timestamps, and I noticed, like, all these timestamps are sequential, even though I was moving from an old database to a new database. I noticed, like, you know, all these timestamps are not what I put in there. And sure enough, I looked into the documentation, and it said timestamp fields are going to be set to now no matter what you do. And the workaround is to make two timestamp fields. Don't use the first one, because it's always set to now, and then the second one you can set to whatever you want. That, to me, is just too weird. And the fact that it doesn't tell me is just ridiculous. It's unacceptable. But the problem with it is, now a lot of people have written open source projects that depend on this behavior, and if you take it out and upgrade, then a lot of them are going to break. So MySQL is stuck. They made a mistake in the beginning, everybody followed suit with their mistake, and now it's going to stay there forever.
Oh, that's just totally brain damaged.
Well, it's just more, hey, let's go work around it. But I'll fix it when I have a chance. And then when they actually get fixed, you're like, I don't want to fix it now.
Yeah, but open source programmers are whiny like that anyway.
Well, hell, all programmers are whiny like that anyway.
I'm sorry?
All programmers are whiny like that.
Yeah, that's right.
You actually adjust the system and apply a security patch, or you take someone's code and they compile it all up and you put it onto the system for production, then their bug comes up and it says, well, my version didn't do that. You must have done something to it. Yeah, shut the fuck up and fix it.
I think you have to get just as whiny with them. You're like, I want to fix now! Now, 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 now!
I didn't change anything. Well, it should be working fine then, shouldn't it?
I was just going to say, I understand where they're coming from. That there is such a huge software base that depends on MySQL that they just can't, they know that it's non-standard. It says in the documentation, this is non-standard. We know it. It's a screw-up. You have to deal with it. But, you know, it's scary to just say all of a sudden we're going to change this behavior and hope everybody does the right thing, because they're not going to. So I can kind of see where they're coming from and kind of not. So for what that's worth.
And we have a very special caller, apparently, so let me bring her in.
Yeah, it's a her. For those of you who... This is for all the people in IRC, apparently.
I want to hear Jeopardy music. What's going on?
Do-do-do-do. Well, we have the music on hold. Yeah, Strom needs to work on this whole getting him in here quickly. And he's like, Asterisk needs to have like a macro or like a, there seems to be a soft key on a Cisco phone that says, join into conference.
Ah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the show, I'd probably like to ask you guys how it's all tied together. Sounds interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty easy to do. I'll explain that later.
It's probably nothing like Freak Factor. It actually, you know, works.
Yeah, it's behind the scenes, it's a little hairy, but it's okay. It does the job.
So speaking of hairy, let's bring in Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
Oh, she's actually a girl. That or a boy with a hormone problem.
Yeah, I'm both.
So what's your question? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So what are you wearing?
Nothing but a smile, baby.
I'm wearing black jeans, black socks, black shoes, and a really nice black collared shirt with like turquoise, silver, blue, and lavender stripes on it.
Wow, you are so gay.
Awesome. Oh yeah.
I'm glad
oh, yeah.
I have the details in that too.
You have
I
a
got
question?
You how I thought. That's it.
Okay.
Okay. I thought you were going to explode into the fireball of rage that you were threatening in the IRC channel.
Oh, not yet. When I hang up, I will.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Have fun.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See, I thought that was actually going to be far more interesting because she's like on the channel. She's like all, I'm going to boycott the radio show, blah, 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 and she's getting all hissy, and then it turns out.
Well, why? Yeah, why is that? Why does she want to boycott the show?
Because Zygmunt rejected her question initially.
What was your question?
What are you wearing?
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, we answered that question. We now know what Strom is wearing.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll do a quick mad dash for the last couple of questions. How hard is it to convert from MySQL to Postgres? Have you ever done it before?
Yes.
I mean, we sort of already covered this, but is there like an automated way of doing it?
There isn't really an automated way of doing it. In general, there's only a few things you're really going to need to change. You can use the MySQL dump function and then try to import it directly into Postgres, and a lot of times it'll work because the data types match up pretty well, again, because they're, you know, standard query language, like, or structured query language. Everything should be the same. There are a few quirks here and there. MySQL uses the backtick character to escape field names. So let's say you have a field name of varchar or something, which is a reserved word. Well, you'd have to put backticks around it. And if you feed backticks to Postgres, it's not going to like it. So basically, go into VI, go into your text editor, find all instances of the backtick, and replace it with an apostrophe or double quotes or whatever it is. I forget right now. And it'll magically work. So for the most part, you won't have much trouble converting. Foreign keys and primary keys and stuff like that, the syntax is a little bit different. Indexes are a little bit different. So your best bet, if your database isn't that large, is to just dump the schema without the keys, dump the data, put the data back in, and then put the keys in by hand. If you have a huge database, you can try doing the keys automatically. Sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't. You know, there's not really much you can do about it. You just got to give it a shot and try. But the benefits after you've switched over are limitless, and it's definitely worth it. So I would say that the conversion difficulty is low to moderate for most databases.
All right. Windows capability, I assume it supports ODBC, because that's I use a lot of that at work.
Yes, it does.
All right.
And they do have it running on Windows, too. I've actually never installed it on Windows. I wouldn't recommend that people install it on Windows, not just because I'm a Linux zealot, just because it's not as well tested as the Linux version. If you want something that's rock solid, the Linux version has been tested forever, I would use that.
Apparently it's been tested since 1989.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Hackers have been banging on it since the first Bush administration. That's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
I've been reading stuff that about all those crazy programs and how everything got started. It's a book. And it's kind of creepy to actually think about all the stuff that's been going on for so long. Like talking about like in the first Altair 8800 in 1979, I was like, wow, that's like 25 years ago. Almost more than 25 years ago at this point. Creepy.
Yep.
Very creepy.
You ever see one of those things in person? They are pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I almost bought one.
An Altair 8800?
Yes. Wow. With no cover and absolutely covered in dust, and the guy wanted like $50 for it.
Only $50?
Well,
yeah, you should have done it.
Yeah, well, it was, I don't even know. There was something else that I wanted that I wanted very much, so I got that instead.
I saw one in pretty much perfect condition, maybe about 10 years ago? Yeah, maybe about 10 years ago. A guy on the forums who goes by the handle Tycom, he had one in, like, perfect condition. And this was back when I was, like, first getting into the scene and everything like that, and he was showing me, like, the Altair and all this other cool stuff. So I've seen it, and when it's in perfect working condition, it looks awesome. And apparently there was a lot of money. Apparently on eBay, people are buying and selling them for a ton of money if they're in good shape. So, pretty cool. I don't know how we got on that topic.
Old school hackers working on Bush administration stuff.
Ah, okay. Right.
And just we're talking about old days. The old days, back when there was a Bell system. So,
yeah, actually, I'm recalling now the time when I saw an Apple I in person.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was just like a circuit board. There was no casing.
I don't even think I've seen an Apple I before.
No, an Apple I was just basically a circuit board. That's what they sold it as.
Wow.
So for those of you who haven't been paying attention for the past hour or so, Knot Theory recommends running MySQL on Linspire as root.
No, actually, I recommend that you run BerkeleyDB or some type of flat file, something or other, on Windows. Preferably Windows 95 or Windows 3.11 for work.
Weak. What about like DOS 5?
You know what? DOS 5 is okay, but I started out with DOS 3.3, and I think 3.3 is a lot more stable than 5.
All right. Well, I'll have to drag out my copy of IBM DOS 3.3 and run that.
Oh, IBM.
Actually,
DOS.
Do
what
you want to know what's creepy? I actually found a DOS 3.3 boot disk.
I have the whole DOS 3.3 thing, like with the paper with like the box thing and the manuals and the floppy disk in the back of the binder. And I found it in my high school, like just lying around. I'm like, oh my god, I must keep this.
That's pretty cool.
I found it. When did I find it? I found it in. I was cleaning out my. The bottom of my old computer desk, like a week ago, that now my parents use, and they were like cleaning it out, and like piles upon piles of disks, like "Where in the World Is Carmen Sandiego?" and "One Must Fall" and "Prince of Persia," and I got rid of a lot of stuff, but like I kept most of the games, of course, because
my favorite was always Lemmings.
Lemmings rocked. I don't have Lemmings, but I remember playing it at school.
Yeah, Lemmings.
Where in the World
Is
Carmen Sandiego? That rocked. Come on.
That's true. Yeah, it did rock.
You know, I a lot of people didn't like it, but I liked Where in Time as Carmen Sandiego for some reason. I don't know if you've ever played it before, but
I seem to vaguely recall playing that on
Apple
too at one point.
I remember. Yeah. I don't know. I always liked the Acme Detective Agency. That thing was a shit.
Anyway, we have 5 minutes left, so...
5 minutes? 10 minutes.
Well, five minutes plus the closing music.
Music.
All right.
So, yes, Linspire, MySQL, root. There we go. That's all you need to remember out of this episode.
No. Ideally, Postgres 8.1. There's 8.0 and there's 7.4 and all this stuff out. 8.1 fixes actually the one gripe I had with Postgres for the longest time. So now I don't even know what to complain about anymore. With me, I'll find something to complain about. It makes user administration even easier in the sense that instead of like creating all these users and then assigning each one specific rights, you can create like a fake user that has all the rights that you want, and then you can say, I want all of these users in this list to inherit this person's rights. So you only have to set users up once, and as you change the permissions of that top user, you can revoke or add permissions to those people below it. So it's awesome, and it takes like 2 seconds to set up like 50 users now. It's great.
Sounds interesting. Well, I will have to try Postgres, and I'll probably move all the YAML database over to it on my backup server, and we'll see what happens.
I'll have to try
to get that up.
Yeah.
Koresh, I'm waiting for my power supply, my motherboard. Announcements, 2600 meetings this Friday.
Yes.
Prudential Center, Philippe's, and where is the, do you go to New York 2600? Not
there. Speaking of being able to complain about anything, I do not go to the New York 2600 meetings because they're in Manhattan and they start at 5 o'clock. And by the time I can actually get down there, it would probably be like 7:30 or 8. So,
ouch!
It just doesn't work out for me.
5 p.m. Who the hell's wrong with him? Jeez. Please,
oh, we got Natus on 7001. Let's have him say hi quickly.
Okay. Yeah. 2600 meeting. Closing music this week is Evolution Control Committee, Rocked by Rape. It sounds weird, but really, just give it a listen. It's humorous.
Yeah. Say hi, Adam.
Adam, put down the 40.
Adam.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Say hi.
What are you guys doing?
We're
closing the show, actually.
Natus, do you have any shouts?
Shout to everybody in the DDP, and shout to Zygmunt for getting out Hack TV 3.
Amen. What about you, Not Theory?
Oh, man. You know, I had shouts, and I totally forgot them. So I'm not going to shout out anybody. I'm going to shout out Natus, because I know Natus installed MySQL on Linspire on its phone. And that's Leap.
Crazy shit. How about you, Strom?
Who do I have shouts for? I'm trying to think. Shouts to Systems Tech in Hawthorne for hosting our DC2N3 meetings.
All right. Shouts to Natus for being an evil capitalist. Good for him. Shouts for Not Theory for possibly making me see the light for Postgres. I'll at least give it a whirl and see what the hell goes on.
And Ruby.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I don't want to use a Japanese programming language.
Yeah, you do. The Japanese are elite, okay? Yeah, shouts to Japan. All of Japan's elite.
Shouts to sushi. Oh, my God, sushi.
Yeah.
Sushi.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. That was the bocce restaurant.
All right. Closing music. Site of the week is actually related to this is w3schools.com/sql. So
thanks to Kyle L for pointing that one out to us in the IRC channel.
Yes, and we didn't have a site of the week, so congratulations, Kyle L, you IRC stat whore. You get to have the SQL on the site of the week. That's it, and we will see you next week, same hack time.
Same hack channel.
This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation. Military threat. Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack.
Stress injuries, prison disaster, economic collapse, dangerous radiation, a tide of violence and human misery, a liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline, starving victims, and now they die. Chemical weapons, carpet bombing, deaths, top FBI, kill and injure children, police conspiracy, negative attacks, discipline, sex and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine, atomic bomb radiation experiments, unwitting test subjects, dangerous radiation, marijuana abuse, hooked on drugs. Time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Nazi war criminals, cancer, garbage, murder, caution, terrorists, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminals persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operations, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing, the gang's rule, criminal anti-government love triangle, deeper and deeper into damage, even death, anti-drug DEA, worldwide ban, time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape, rock, rock, rock by rape, rock, rock, rock by rape, sex, drugs, and rock by rape, disgruntled conspirator, attack, killed, U.S. warplane went down in flames, crash, gunned down, shooting death, blood drops, murderer, desperate, tragedy, isn't he dead? Death penalty, ransom note, forbidding, notorious, overwhelming, communist, urban, punishment, low ethics, extortion and murder, a plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire, international smuggling pipeline, make it faster, better, cheaper, health risk, criminals, murdering a man, tough, diplomatic hell on earth, magnetic radiation, fraudulent assassins, mysterious murder, chemical terrorism, military targets, fatal crash, danger, the freak accident, no known survivors, wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb, emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage, notorious negative police brutality, fear, the hidden Nazis next door, Marxist rebels, serious murderer, accidents, problems, punitive damages, like that negative, heart-wrenching controversy, time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape, rock, rock, rock by rape, rock, rock, rock by rape, sex, drugs, and rock by rape, bug out, bug out, bug out, bug, bug. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS EV News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.